do they?
No.
Why not? Why women don't need a minyan?
We're not for the halacha, and
it ties in with the spies. It ties in. Can I open a window? It ties in with the spies.
It's not air conditioned. Yes, it is.
The air outside is hot.
Before we get to that, there's an amazing clay yakar on the parsha. Shlach lecha anoshim. So clay yakar says that Moshe sent men on his own. If he would have sent women, would have been a totally different picture. You hear? Amazing clay yakar, shlach lecha anoshim. It's your idea to send men.
Excuse me, may I just ask you a quick question?
Sure.
First time I come. And the tidbit, it said you're going to speak about why women do not need...
Correct.
I'm warming up. Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm warm already.
Yeah.
You'll get your answer.
Before the pitcher pitches, he has to warm up in the bullpen, right?
That gives me a question,
Shaila.
Right from what you're saying, I have a question.
So, the Klei Yokar says, it's your idea to send men. If you were to send women... Women have more imunah bitachon. Women's love for Eretz Yisrael is much greater. They would have come back with a positive report, and Jewish history would have taken a completely different turn. Isn't that incredible? That God said, if you would have consulted me, I would have told you to send female spies. Remember Mata Hari? What's her name? Tokyo Rose? Mata Hari? It's incredible, Klei Yokar. He says this. L'cha noshim, it's your idea to send men. If you would have asked me, says Hashem, I would have told you to send women. We know women love Israel much greater than men. They didn't sin with the spies, and therefore Jewish history would have taken a completely different turn. But they say, if is a stiff, right? Who says that? If is a stiff? The shir is le'el nishmas ahuva bas malke v'aryeh. Le'el nishmas ahuva bas malke v'aryeh. Okay. So, how could the spies make such a terrible mistake? They were Rosh Bnei Yisrael. Each one was a chief rabbi. It says Rosh Bnei Yisrael. How could they make such a terrible, terrible mistake?
They didn't want to
lose their power, their position in the Midbar. They each had a Volvo and a secretary and an office. A Nasi. Once you come to Israel,
you have to work.
Ois kapelitzmacher, they say in Yiddish. Ois kapelitzmacher, how do you say that? No more nesiim. They'll have to work for a living, open a makolet, or work in a, what? For Bezek. So in order to protect their seats, their position, they sold out the nation. Incredible, great people have great egos. So they rationalize it's better to remain in the Midbar where we continue to retain our authority, our importance. We go to Israel, we just become regular people, and they could not deal with that, and therefore they came up with this whole plot. There are many explanations what was the Cheta Meraglim, and this is one of them. It's interesting that the parsha starts off with the word "uritem." You shall see, and the end of the parsha by Tzitzis also says, "You shall see." Who shall you see? Uritem oto. You shall see him. Uritem et haaretz. You shall see God in the land. Don't be deceived by natural events. Whatever happens in Eretz Yisrael, it's always God. But it's shrouded in natural events. So Moshe tells them, "Uritem et haaretz." You shall see the land, you shall see him in the land. Despite all the natural occurrences, don't be deceived by appearances. The end of the parsha says, when you look at the tzitzis, "Uritem oto." When you look at the tzitzis, you're supposed to remind yourself that God is everywhere and in everything. So the blue and white are supposed to remind us that whatever happens to us, what we think is a coinky-dinky, it's all Him. To see Him in everything in nature. And this exactly was the Chet HaMaraglim. It's amazing. If you look in the Haftorah that we read yesterday, Rachav HaZona, how low can you go? For being Rachav HaZona, she converted to Judaism and became the Rebbetzin of Yeshua Ben Nun. Can you imagine the headlines in the Jewish press? Former super madame converts to Judaism and marries Yeshua Ben Nun, the chief rabbi of Israel. Can you imagine? And you know who their descendant was? Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was their descendant. This woman undergoes an amazing transformation. She says, Hashem Elokeichem hu Elohim b'shemayim mimal bal oretz mitachat. Your God is the God from the heavens above and also oretz mitachat, and the earth below. What did she mean by that? This was the chet of the Meraglim. The Meraglim, they felt that God, Avram, is only concerned in the big ticket items. God is only in the super duper razzle dazzle, the Exodus, the splitting of the Red Sea, the killing of the firstborn, the revelation, the man. God is found in the supernatural. But God is not concerned with the Aretz Mitachas. They felt that the fight for the land of Israel will have to do it on our own. God cannot be bothered by the natural events. He's only concerned with what? The supernatural. They try to put God in a box. This Rachav HaZona, this pagan woman, had a deeper, women have a Bina Yeterah. She understood what the Meraglim missed, that God is not just found by Shemai Mimal. He's found Al Oretz Mitachad. Uritem Oto. Don't be deceived by appearances, by natural events. The same God that split the Red Sea is the same God that is there next to you in everything that you do in the mundane pursuits of your own life. It's all Him. That's the challenge that the Meraglim were not willing to meet. But Rachav HaZona was up to the challenge. She was able to see God in everything and everywhere. Wow. And she became worthy to be the Rebbetzin of Yeshua Ben Nun. Can you imagine? Now, the Pasuk says the Meraglim came to Eretz Yisrael, Yimei Bikurei Hanovim. Why is that important? When they came to Eretz Yisrael. It was the time of the Bikurei Hanovim. What does Bikuri mean? When the fruits begin to ripen. Why is that important? When they came. The Torah is not a storybook. So the Ariya Kodesh says something amazing. He says, the mitzvah to bring Bikurim to the Bet HaMikdash, that's a tikkun for the Chet HaMaraglim. And therefore, the mitzvah consists of two parts. Farmer Schwartz has to bring beautiful fruits to Eretz from Israel to the Beit HaMikdash, and he has to make a speech praising the land of Israel. Why? Why is Bikurim a two-part mitzvah? Because it's a tikkun for the Chet HaMaraglim, which also consisted of what? Two parts. They brought bizarre, grotesque fruit. They could have brought normal-looking fruit, but they looked specially for the bizarre and the grotesque, to say just like the fruit is bizarre, the people are bizarre, and they slandered the land of Israel. So their sin consisted of two parts. Bringing ugly, bizarre fruit and speaking negatively against the land. So therefore, says the Ari HaKadosh, the mitzvah Bikurim consists also of what? Two parts. Bringing beautiful fruits versus their ugly fruits, and praising the land. Farmer Schwartz, when he brings the Bikurim, has to make a speech praising the land of Israel. That's to counteract their slander against the land of Israel.
Also, they didn't bring any produce which was nourishing. They brought grapes, pomegranates, and figs. They didn't bring grain. They could have brought
that's right. And they could have brought normal-looking stuff.
Yes. So, you know, that's...
They wanted to show that normal people cannot exist over here. Forget about it.
So we have no.
What? That's what they say. Normal people can't live here.
Also, how they looked at this.
They said, Eretz Ochelet Yoshveha. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. They said, wherever we went, we saw people dying. It was a plague, an epidemic. So Rashi says, Akrish Baruch Hu did it l'tova, that the country should be busy with epidemics and mass funerals, so the KGB should not be looking for these guys. Imagine 12 Haredi rabbis snooping around the land. The Kagaba will be all over them. So what does Hashem do? He brings a mass epidemic. Right? A disaster, worse than the BP disaster, right? So the KGB is busy. So the Meraglim did not give God the benefit of the doubt. That was the chet of the Meraglim. Yes, they said wherever we went, people were dying. But Kodesh Baruch Hu did it l'tova, that was a cover for them. So instead of interpreting it negatively, positively, they interpreted what? Negatively. It's a land that devours its inhabitants and we can't live here. So do you see the Chet of Meraglim was the sin? They did not give God the benefit of the doubt. You see this throughout, that the message of living in Israel is, in Israel we have to give the land and the people the benefit of the doubt. You gotta accent the positive.
What happened with the ship?
Eliminate the negative, right? It's amazing, you see this throughout. The Meraglim, according to the Zoya, the Meraglim had very frum and cheshbonos. They were all Haredi rabbis. You see something very strange, Rennie. Right after the Chet Meraglim, the Torah gives us three mitzvot. What are the three mitzvot? Nisuch Hayayin, Chala, and Tzitzis. Madua Valaba. Why are these three mitzvot given right after Chet Meraglim? Nisuch Hayayin al HaMizbeach, Chala, and Tzitzis. So Sfas Emes says that this is God's answer to the Meraglim. The Meraglim find it like this. Here in the Midbar, we have the Be'er Shel Miriam. Imagine drinking the Be'er Shel Miriam. Eze Kiddusha. Miriam's well. Every time you take a drink, you have a spiritual high. Here we have the Man. The Kiddusha of the Man, every time you eat the Man, you get spiritually catapulted and elevated. We have the Anane Yakovot, hugged by the one above. You come to Rechavia, or Pisgat Zev, or remote. No more Man, no more Be'er Shel Miriam, no more Anane Yakovot. We don't want to lose the spiritual gifts and the spiritual ecstasy contained in these gifts. So therefore, it's better to sabotage the mission, Rennie, and what? Remain in the Midbar, continue to eat the man, continue to enjoy the Be'er Shel Miriam and the Anane Yakovot. Imagine being hugged by the one above. In Israel, not going to have that. So the Meraglim had frime chashbonos. They say the road to hell is what? Paved with good intentions. So Sfas Emes says something amazing. He says the Meraglim were guilty of not giving God the benefit of the doubt again. A Jew has to know when God takes away a gift from him, it's only to replace it with something better. You might not always see it, but a Jew has to believe, says the Sfas Emes, the Amunah Shalema, and this is one of the messages of the Meraglim, that when God takes away a gift, he always replaces it with something better, even though you don't see it right away, and you don't necessarily make the connection. But that's the message of the Meraglim. The Sfas Emes quotes a Zohar. He says, you know why you get the mitzvah of Nisuch Hayayin right after the Meraglim? This is God's substitute. God is taking away the Be'er Shel Miriam. In Israel, there's no Be'er Shel Miriam. When you come to Eretz Yisrael and you do the Nisuch Hayayin of the Mizbeach, says the Zohar, then all the Diet Coke and Pepsi that you drink in Israel has the Kiddush of the Be'er Shel Miriam. Through the mitzvah of Nisuch Hayayin of the Mizbeach, you're sanctifying and elevating all the Me'idan, or the Aqua, what's it? Aqua Me'idan, Yeah. So through the mitzvah nisach hayayin, all the shtiyah in Eretz Yisrael acquires the kedusha of what? Of the Be'er Shel Miriam. What else do they say? There's no man over here. No man. Says the Ksas Emes, quoting the Zayar, through the mitzvah of challah, when a Jew bakes bread and he separates the challah, then all the bagels he eats in Israel, taka becomes a holy bagel. It's taka, a holy bagel. Get it, Alfie?
That's all over the world.
Through the mitzvah, no, but it's only holy here, says the Sfas Emes, quoting the Zayah. When a Jew, there's no mitzvah of challah in Borough Park, it's only the Rabbana. The mitzvah of challah in Lakewood, New Jersey, that's not Minat Torah. That's a zecher, not to forget. But the mitzvah Minat Torah of challah is only where? Where? Bevoyachem el Oretz. Bevoyachem el Oretz. Only when you come to the land of Israel. And that mitzvah is given right after the Chet HaMeraglim. Bevoyachem el Oretz. You shall separate challah, right? But v'yachem el aretz. So the Sasena says again, when a Jew does the mitzvah challah in Israel, all the bread that he eats has the kedusha of what? Of the man. You got to know this. Next time you buy a holy bagel, whether it's, I like a garlic.
I like holy.
Right? You have to know that you are... What's the word? Inculcating? I like that word.
Inculcating.
Okay, whatever. You are absorbing the kedusha of the man because the mitzvah of challah, whether you did it or the mashgiach in the bakery did it, person's agent is like himself. Through the mitzvah of challah, all the bread that you eat in Israel has the kedusha of what? Of man. And what else do the Meraglim say, Rennie? What else do they say? Here in the Midbar we have what? We have the Anane HaKavod. You come to Israel, no more Anane HaKavod, says the Sfas Emes. When a Jew wraps himself in a talit with the tzitzit, he's being hugged tighter by God than the Anane HaKavod. We'll have to talk about that. So these three mitzvahs are given right after the Chet HaMeraglim to teach the message that when God takes away a gift, he always replaces it with something better, even though you don't see it right away or make the connection right away. So when we wrap ourselves in the tzitzis and the talit, that's better than the Anane HaKavod. Why? And when we bake challah, it's better than the man. Why? So yeah. Because the man was a welfare check. You ever see people that take welfare all the time? What happens to them? They sit on the stoop drinking. I grew up there in Williamsburg. They sit on the stoop drinking beer and playing dominoes all day, waiting for the welfare check. After a while, you lose your self-dignity. Use your self-respect. So for 40 years, the Jews got a welfare check. But God loves us too much to continue to give us welfare. God wants us to have our self-respect and dignity. So through the mitzvah of challah, we are infusing the bread with the kedusha of the man, but it's more valuable because we make it happen. We make it happen. When we make it happen, when we do it, it has more value, it has more meaning, because we do it, we become God's partner. In Briat Tikkun Olam, it has more value, it's everlasting. I'll prove this point to you, that when we do it, it has more value. Har Sinai, the revelation of Sinai, when God appeared, spoke the Ten Commandments, after the revelation, was the mountain holy? No. A minute later, the Torah says anyone can come up. Har Sinai, today or even then, a moment after the revelation, has absolutely no kedusha. And yet, Har Abayit is just as holy today as when the building stood there. What's the difference? Why is Har Sinai not holy at all and Har Abayit is eternally holy? Because Har Sinai, Sonia, was all from him. We sat back and enjoyed the show. What happens when the show is over and the curtain goes down? You go home. Right? So Har Sinai, he gave everything we sat back and enjoyed. And it's over, it's over. So who infused Har Sinai with Kedusha? God did it. We just sat back and passed it. Who infused Har Abayis with Kedusha?
Abraham
and Yitzchak through the Akedah. When we do it, it has eternal value in Kedusha. You see this throughout Judaism. Which are holy, the first Lukos or the second? The first Lukos was all God. You imagine? The first Lukos was all God. That didn't last. The second Lukos was a joint effort. Moshe had a hack and chisel the sapphire tablets, and he had to schlep those heavy sapphire stones up the mountain. He was no youngster, no spring chicken. He was 80 years old, but they gehacked and gehacked, and then he dragged those heavy sapphire stones up the mountain. Imagine he schwitzed that he worked. And those luchos are still around. They were never broken. Because when we do it together with God, it guarantees its permanent. What's the word? Permanency. Permanency. Eternal Kedusha. So therefore, the man only lasted 40 years. You cannot get welfare all the time. When you come to Israel and you do the mitzvah challah, you are infusing the Kiddush of Man to the Mitzvah Challah. Meraglim didn't understand that. They didn't give God the benefit of the doubt, and that was their terrible mistake. That when God takes away a gift, he always replaces it with something better, even though you don't see the connection right away. And therefore, these three mitzvahs are given right after the Chet Meraglim. Nisach HaYayin, to replace what? The Be'er Shal Miriam. Challah, to replace what? The man, and the talit, the tzitzit, to replace what? The Anani Yaakov and hugged by the one above. Now, the $64 question, why women don't need a minion? So a Jew always answers a kasha.
With another
kasha. Why do men need a women, need a... What? Why do men need a minion? So the answer is found in the Chet HaMeraglim. Rashi quotes the Gemara, Masechet Sanhedrin. God says, Ad matay le'eda hara azot. How long will, can I continue to tolerate this evil Eda? Says Rashi, Elu HaMeraglim, Mikan le'eda shi asara. How many bad Meraglim were there?
Ten.
So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. From here you'll learn out that an Eda's a minion, is what?
Ten.
You hear this? To learn out that you need a minion, you got to go fishing to 10 wicked people. Why don't you look for 10 tzaddikim? If you want to learn a source that you need 10 people for a minion, you have to go to 10 Rishoyim. Huh? This is the source in Halacha that 10 Jews are a minion from the 10 wicked Meraglim. What gives over here? Rabbeinu Bachya says, Midah keneged Midah. The 10 Meraglim made a terrible Chil Hashem. They slandered God's country. And they came close to slandering God himself. So the Meraglim diminished Kovod Hashem, says Rabbeinu Bachya. They made a Chil Hashem. So therefore we need a minion 10 for 10. They 10 Meraglim diminished Kovod Hashem. They slandered God, so to speak. So we need 10 guys to get together and say, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba. How do you fix a Chil Hashem? With a Kiddush Hashem. So when 10 Jews get together and say, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba, they are sanctifying God's name. So every time you daven with a minion, the 10 guys are being mitaken the Chet HaMeraglim, which was Chil Hashem. Any Jew who speaks against Eretz Yisrael is Mechal Hashem Shemayim, says Rabbeinu Bachya, whether we know it or not. Any Jew that speaks negatively about Israel, like the Meraglim did, it's considered a Chil Hashem. Who knows this? So therefore, says Rabbeinu Bachya, you need 10 people to get together. The Mechal Hashem Shemayim. Rabbeinu Bachya says, you know why women don't need a minion? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Who said that? Huh? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Never heard that? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. As Rabbeinu Bachya, women never sinned with the Meraglim. They never accepted the slander. They never were Mechal Hashem Shemayim. And therefore, women don't need a minyan. We have a minyan to be betaking the Chet HaMeraglim. Women never sinned with the Chet HaMeraglim. So if they never sinned, they don't need the tikkun.
They weren't in the Chet HaEgel either.
Right? That's correct. They weren't in the Chet HaEgel either.
Right.
And therefore, Beinu Bachya says that women don't need a minyan. It's not necessary for them. We need it to be metaking the Chet 10 for 10. They never sinned with the 10 Meraglim. They never accepted the slander. And therefore, they don't need to be metaking the Chet through a minyan. Yes?
You have a parallel exactly what you said with the women. Who lights the candles that are Shabbos? Only women.
No, if a man is not married, he has to light himself.
No,
or if his wife is sick,
usually,
right.
Why? Because it's also a tikkun.
Because that's when we daven.
It's a tikkun for one.
And if he's still with his mother? Sure.
With the women? In a nice place, what we call, it wasn't Russia, it was Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
They sinned.
Yeah, but that was for
birth.
They extinguished the light of the world through the Chet of Eitz Hadas.
Yes.
So therefore, they broke it. They got to fix it.
They have to fix
it. So we
by
do. We suffer by
candles.
Having a baby.
That's something else.
Something else.
It's parallel to what you said.
Okay. Right. So this is Rabbeinu Bachya's explanation of why women don't need a minyan. The minyan is only a tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim, which was 10. If it's not broken, don't bother to fix it.
It's also time. We're not machiyev to time women.
Yeah.
We can daven whenever.
That's right. Yeah. And Ramosha Feinstein says in the Igret Moshe that if a woman wants to say Kaddish in the Ezras Noshim, there's no problem. That she could say along with the mourners in the men's section, but she's in the ladies' section, there's no problem for her to say the Kaddish if she wants, but he says it's not necessary.
Right.
Because Kaddish is a tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim, and they never seen it. Kaddish has nothing to do with death. It's a big mistake. It doesn't mention one word about death in the Kaddish.
Right.
It's Kiddush Shem Shemayim. The Kaddish is Shem Shemayim. So why do you say Taka Kaddish for a dead person? If it has nothing to do with death, and it doesn't, so why do you have to say Kaddish for a dead person?
Because the dead person goes on to another phase. They didn't die. They go on to another phase.
So what has it got to do with Kaddish?
On the Kaddishim Shemayim that they...
What's the connection?
The Kaddishim Shemayim that they didn't die. They're going on to a better place.
So what has it got to do with Kaddish?
To
so to answer this question, you have to ask Malka another. Why is a dead person called a halal in Hebrew? Even in modern Hebrew, a dead person is called a halal. The English chet lamid la halal, which is chilel, the same root as chilel Hashem. The English word, thank you very much.
Amen.
Anyone have a pen here? Alan, you have a pen?
Pen.
For the board, right. Board pen. Thank you. The English word hollow comes from Hebrew halal, you know that? Anyone who knows linguistics knows that. Halo comes from halal.
Which means
hollow. I'll explain what it means. One second.
So the body
Thank
is
you.
Bereft of the soul. Beautiful. So the body is hollow.
Beautiful.
But not the soul.
In a few minutes.
Is there an eraser? You got that?
That's cool. You're asking too much.
Too much.
Ruch Hashem, I can do it. I got a mitzvah.
Yeah.
I have to find my way into heaven.
That's amazing.
It's over. Okay, I don't need any more things. Okay. Halal, hallow. It's the same pronunciation. A dead person, even in modern Hebrew, is called a halal, in Biblical Hebrew as well. Like Malka said, because what's a human being?
And the soul is
the human being is the human being is his godly soul.
The soul's out.
Right? Now what's left is a hollowed out shell.
Yeah.
So that person's called halal because the neshama is gone. He is gone. What's left is a hollow bodysuit. Right? Now keep in mind, remember when the astronauts went to the moon?
Yeah.
They were wearing those awkward looking suits. You couldn't fool me. I knew that that awkward looking suit was not Neil Armstrong. I knew Neil Armstrong was inside the suit. He was wearing that funny suit in order to what? To maneuver.
Yeah.
To maneuver to function on the moon. But Neil Armstrong was not that funny looking suit. The same thing, we are not a funny looking bodysuit. We are inside. We wear the suit for the same reason the astronaut wears the suit, in order to function and accomplish a mission in this world. Without the bodysuit, the astronaut, we are all astronauts. We are all astronauts. What is our spacesuits? Vroomer. It's the body. It's the body that we cannot function and maneuver and accomplish without the spacesuit, which we call a body. So when the person dies, the bodysuit remains. So it's a hollow spacesuit. So therefore, that person is called what?
A halal.
Why do you say Kaddish for a dead person? Because the godly soul that lived inside this spacesuit is no more. He's gone. There's a tremendous vacuum left. The part of God, the Chelik Elohim Imal, that lived inside this person is now gone. The Neshama is not here anymore. There's a halal, there's a chilul. Omein Yehei Shmei Rabbah. We are going to fill that hollow space with Kiddush Shemayim. We're going to take up the slack, the vacuum, the hollowness left behind by this Jewish person who is not here anymore. So the Shekhinah, so to speak, suffered a setback. The part of God that lived in this world inside this human being is no longer present. What's left is a hollow spacesuit. So we say, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah. It's a nechama for the Shekhinah. God will pick up the slack. We'll fill the hollow space. Noch HaKiddusha, Noch HaKaddish. We're going to fill up the slack, that hollowness created by the death of this person, which left this part of the Shekhinah hollowed out. That's Chilul Hashem. And therefore we do Kiddush Hashem. But women are not obligated to say Kaddish. But again, the Moshe Feinstein Paskins, if they want, they're more than welcome to say Kaddish in the women's section along with the men. Now, it's just amazing that the Meraglim caused this disaster on Klal Yisrael, which we're still suffering today. All the tzorot that we suffer is all for the Chet HaMeraglim. It says they cried on that night. Ready, what night was it? It was Tisha B'Av night. So all disasters, Loyalenu, and tragedies in Jewish history, people don't know that Auschwitz began to operate on Tisha B'Av, and World War I broke out on Tisha B'Av, and the Spanish Inquisition was on Tisha B'Av. It's no coincidence. And we're still suffering from the disaster of the Chet HaMeraglim, and it all goes back to not giving Eretz Yisrael the benefit of the doubt. What?
And Hashem.
Hashem? And Eretz Yisrael, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's amazing. The Jews hear the evil report that they have to die out in the desert. And it looks like they want to do tshuva. And then Moshe tells them, Al Talu. What does Al Talu mean? Don't make aliyah. Ki ein Hashem bekir bechem. Ki ein Hashem bekir bechem. What does that mean? What's the word kerev mean in Hebrew? Kerev means kishkis. That's what it means. Even in modern Hebrew. Kishkis, intestines. Al Talu ki ein Hashem bekir bechem. Oh, the pen is gone. Why can't Kerev? Kerev in Hebrew means kishkis. So what is the Torah saying over here? Al talu ki ein Hashem bekirbechem. Moshe is telling the Yidden not to make Aliyah. Why?
Not the right time.
Because if you don't feel God in your gut, you don't belong here. If you don't read them oto, if you don't see God in everything, in everywhere, behind every leaf, if you're not capable of doing that, then al talu. Why did God reject it? You didn't want to do tshuva. We want to come to Israel. God said you can't make it here. If you don't see God in everything, if you don't see God everywhere, if you don't feel God in your kishkis, then al talu. You won't be able to make it here. The Talmud says three precious gifts did God give Israel, and all were given through what? Great suffering. And one of them is what? Eretz Yisrael. No pain, no gain. But we know the suffering is worth it because He is there everywhere suffering along with us. Ima Anochi Betzara. God says, I feel your pain. Ima Anochi, Psalm 91. But if you're not able to feel God in your kishkis, or see Him in everywhere and everything, then al talu. It's a waste of time. So those people that come here and don't make it, and they leave, it's because ein Hashem bekir b'chem. They don't feel God in their gut, so they're not cut out for living here. So al talu.
Those born here and leave, same deal?
Same thing.
Of course.
You ever wonder why going to Israel is called Aliyah? And getting called up to the Torah is also called what?
Aliyah.
Is that a coinky dinky, Alfie? You get called to the Torah, it's called an Aliyah. Israel's called an Aliyah. Why do you think? Can anyone come up to the Torah? Yeah, I'm old Yankel Shmerel. If your name is not Yankel Shmerel, the Gabbai will say, sit down. I didn't call you up. So I heard Rav Kahana, Zecher Tzadik Avracha, he said this, Rav Kahana, he said the same thing with coming and based on this pasuk. Al talu ke'en Hashem bekir b'chem. If you don't get called by the Gabbai with a capital G, then al talu. We, Baruch Hashem, sitting in this room, we all got Ya'amod. We all got called by the Gabbai with a capital G. Because we feel Hashem Bekir Bechem. We feel God, otherwise we wouldn't come. We are the privileged ones. We are the privileged ones because we feel Hashem Bekir Bechem. Or Item Oto, we see Him in everything and everywhere. We can't be deceived. So we got the Yamod.
I was just in a bomb scare at the bus station.
You gotta be called. Anyone remember Mayor Koch here? Anyone from New York? Mayor Koch used to go around saying, how am I doing? Remember? How am I doing? No, remember? I remember. Used to take a walk in Greenwich Village. Hey, how am I doing? How am I doing? Rabbeinu Tam says something amazing. How do we know how we're doing in God's book? What's the test? How am I doing in God's book? Rabbeinu Tam says there's a simple test. He says, if we are zoiche to do a mitzvah, which for some reason is neglected by other frum Jews, person has the schus to do a mitzvah, which for some reason is neglected or ignored by majority of Yidden, and you have the schus to do that mitzvah, says Rabbeinu Tam, that means you're doing A-OK in God's book. That's what he says. So what does that mean? So Aliyah. Aliyah. How many frum Jews make Aliyah? How many Jews altogether make Aliyah, let alone frum Jews? So it's a mitzvah that for some reason or another is neglected and ignored by the majority of Yidden. And we, Alfie, had the schus to do that mitzvah. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, that means what? God thinks highly of us. We got the Ya'amod. We got the Aliyah. Get it? Aliyah le-Torah. Aliyah le-Eretz Yisrael. So we have to be aware of that and appreciate it. Every that we live here. that we've been called because God says you feel Hashem bekir bechem in your gut, and we answer the call. We have to be proud of ourselves. We have to appreciate it and not take it for granted.
Rabbi,
yes?
One mitzvah that isn't part of the 613,
which is what?
To live in Israel.
Who says, according to the Ramban, it's one of the 613. So you ask me a good tekasha. How come the Rambam doesn't count living in Israel as a mitzvah?
Because it's so obvious.
So the Chazon Ish said, again, a Jew answers a kasha. He says, if you look at the Rambam's Hagdama to Mishnah Torah, the Holy Master Avram gives you the guidelines. He doesn't say why he doesn't count Israel as living as a mitzvah, but he tells you, he says, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, Kedoshim Tiyu. There's a statement in the Torah, Kedoshim Tiyu. What does that mean?
Be holy.
So the Rambam asked on himself, how come I don't count that as a mitzvah? It's an open verse, Kedoshim Tiyu, be holy. So how come I don't count it? So the Rambam says in his Akdama, I'm only counting Pratim. What does Pratim mean?
Details.
Something that's the klal gadol, but Torah, I can't count that as a mitzvah. Kedoshim Tiyu is not a mitzvah, it's the end game. The purpose of doing any mitzvah is what? Kedoshim Tiyu. So how can I count Kedoshim Tiyu as a mitzvah when that's the purpose, the goal, the toyeles, the tafkir of any mitzvah is Kedoshim Tiyu? So that cannot be counted as a mitzvah because that's all encompassing. That's the end game. That's the, I call me Yiddish a tzvek. How you say tzvek in English? The purpose. And the Rambam stops right there. Says the Holy Chazon Ish, the master gave you a guideline. Take the football and run with it. So the Rambam just told you that something which is greater than a mitzvah, which is not a detail, which is a klal, not a prat, he's not counting. So this Chazon Ish says the same reason why the Rambam doesn't count Kedoshim Tiyu as a mitzvah is the same reason why he doesn't count Yishev Etz Yisrael as a mitzvah. Because the purpose of all the Torah is just to do it in Eretz Yisrael. As Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush. He says something amazing. At the burning bush in Parshas Shemos, what does he tell him? He tells him, "Ve'ered latzilo miyad mitzrayim u'alotem min ha'aretz ahi el eretz tova urchava el eretz zavas chol v'dvash." And then he says, "Bitziachlas am Mitzrayim tavdun eshalim al har hazeh." What came first, Eretz Yisrael or Har Sinai? So why does God mention, "I'll bring you an Eretz Tova Ruchava," and only then does He say, "Bitziachlas am Mitzrayim tavdun eshalim al har hazeh"? The Exodus came first. I mean, the revelation came before what? Eretz Yisrael. So why does God mention Eretz Tova, Urchava, and then He mentions you're going to worship God on this mountain? So the Urchaim HaKodesh explains that the whole purpose of receiving the Torah and Har Elohim was only to keep it in Eretz Tova, Urchava. Chazon Ish has his whole thesis based on this Urchaim, that the reason God mentions Israel first, even though we didn't get that till 40 years later, and He mentions the Tavnus Ulimah Harazeh later, is even though we didn't get Israel for 40 years, but the whole purpose of receiving the Torah on Mount Sinai was only that we should keep it where? Yes. Keep it right here. So the Chazon Ish answers, that's why the Rambam doesn't mention Yishev Etz Yisrael as a mitzvah, because it's just like Kedoshim Tiyu. Just like Kedoshim Tiyu is the end game, it's the purpose, Toyeles, and the tafkid of all mitzvot. The same thing, Yishev Etz Yisrael cannot be counted as a mitzvah Because the purpose of doing any mitzvah is to do it where?
In Eretz
Yisrael. And therefore God mentions Eretz Yisrael before the giving of the Torah at the burning bush, which is very strange. Because that's the end game. I'll bring them El Eretz Tova, El Eretz Zavas Chol V'Dvash, and then he mentions, when you take the people out, they're going to serve God on this mountain. Yes?
My point was that we cannot decide which mitzvah is greater or lesser. But because this mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is not in Rambam 6:13, this
right.
is the greatest, as you call it, all-encompassing mitzvah.
Like Kedoshim Tiyu. That's right.
Like every single mitzvah is covered because you...
Right? Like Kedoshim Tiyu.
Well, the Ramban says that...
The Ramban does count it as a mitzvah.
Yeah, I know, but he also says that all the mitzvahs that you do in Chutz La'aretz are only extra mitzvahs.
He's quoting a Sifri. It's not the Rambam. It's not the... It's the Sifri. The Sifri says clearly, that when a Jew does a mitzvah in Borough Park, he's only practicing. He's warming up in the bullpen. If you want to pitch in the game, you got to come to Israel. So says the Sifri. And the Ramban just quotes that Sifri. It's incredible. That when you do mitzvahs outside of Israel, you're only practicing. Because the mitzvahs were given to be done in Eretz Yisrael. So how could the Rambam count living in Israel as a mitzvah? I mean, mitzvahs only have complete value only when they're done here. So how could I reduce it to one mitzvah when it's all-encompassing, says the Chazoinish? Isn't that incredible?
Maybe because there are mitzvahs that are talui ba'aret. So we're not doing the complete mitzvahs until we're living in Israel because there's...
So Malka is raising a very interesting question. Malka, you're raising a very interesting question. But it's amazing that the Sifri, the Samtim is Devorai Eile. In Devorim Yud Aleph, Pashas Ekev, we say it in the Shema, the Samtim is Devorai Eile. So Rashi and the Ramban quote the Sifri, even after you go to Galut, continue to distinguish yourself in mitzvot. Continue to put on tefillin. Continue to do mezuzot. So the whole reason that you put on tefillin where? In Lakewood, New Jersey. So the Ramban asked Malkus Kasha. The Sifri should have said Truma, Meiser, Bikurim, mitzvahs that are agricultural. You can only do where?
Here.
Here. Why does the Sifri mention Tefillin and Mezuzah? Tefillin and Mezuzah are not agricultural mitzvahs. And yet the Sifri says that even Tefillin and Mezuzah are only done in Borough Park. Kidei shelo yilachem chadashim keshetachzeru. What does that mean?
You'll come back here.
They shouldn't feel new and strange when you come back. So even mitzvahs that have nothing to do with agriculture, you only do them in Chutz La'aretz, not to forget how to do them for real. The Ramban makes this amazing question of Malka. The Sifri should have just mentioned mitzvah tatlias varetz. So you see, it's not just that. It's any mitzvah to be done correctly and properly and fully must be done in Eretz Yisrael. So how could the Ramban make it a mitzvah to live here when that's the be-all and the end-all of what? Of all mitzvot. Even tefillin and mezuzah that have nothing to do with agriculture. Pretty amazing. Sifri, Devarim Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches in the Sifri. So Baruch Hashem, we have the zchus to be here. We have to cherish it, appreciate it, and not to take it for granted. We have to cherish and appreciate it. There's an amazing verse in Psalms 27. King David prays, Shifti Beveis Hashem. I want to live in God's house. What's God's house? Rechavia. Right? Up his Gazer. He says, Shifti Beveis Hashem. And then he says, Ulevake Be'echolo. What does Bikur mean? Bikur means a tourist. King David, make up your mind. In the same psalm, you're praying that you want to be Shifti Beveis Hashem. You want to be a Toshav. And then you're saying you want to be a Bikur, you want to be a tourist. King David, make up your mind. What's King David davening? I want to live in Israel, but I want to have the enthusiasm and the excitement of being a tourist. Please, God, don't let me get used to living here.
Complacent.
Don't let me get complacent and take it for granted. Shifti Beveis Hashem, Ulevaker. But I want to retain that excitement, that enthusiasm that I had when I was a tourist. How excited, even Rabbi Emanuel, when he saw the Kotel, cried.
Oh,
Ram, Herald Tribune, a big picture of him crying in front of the Kotel. Right?
Yeah.
So King David says, I want to retain that excitement. I don't want to become like ready, set, complacent. That's a challenge. To appreciate and cherish living in Israel every single day. That's our challenge, yes? What?
It proves what you said. It says, Ishlach lecha anashim. The next word it says, Vayetur
etav. Tourists.
Wait, but they came back, they said, Chasarnu, Vayetur etav. That was it.
Tourists.
They were not tourists, that's it.
Now, the Meraglim didn't lie. Froma, just to get my point. The Meraglim didn't lie, Yeshua ben Nun didn't lie. Person looks at a glass, is it half full or is it what? Half empty. They didn't lie and they didn't lie. Ah. What do we see? How do we reflect what we see? How do we reflect what we see? Do we reflect the positive or the negative? What are we focusing on? On the positive or on the negative? Yeshua ben Nun and Kalev, they focused on the positive. The Meraglim, they focused on the negative. But each one did not lie. The message is, in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says, accent the positive and don't focus on the negative. And they did the other way around. Whatever's in our hearts is reflected. What you see, how we reflect things is what we how we see them, how we reflect on what we're looking for and what we're focusing on. Positive or negative, but each one didn't lie. Just want to make one more point. Yeah. Please hold your kasha.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you an unbelievable story from Eliyahu Ki Tov. You ever hear the books Eliyahu Ki Tov? It's a great tzaddik. He didn't pass away that long ago. So once a big Rebbe from Borough Park came to visit him, and they're walking along Rehov Yaffa in Yerushalayim. And Nebuchadnezzar, Rehov Yaffa, not all Jewish daughters are dressed the way they should be dressed. They're not, Nebuch. So the Rebbe said, Feh! Feh! So Rabbi Yochi Tov grabbed him by the arm. He says, Vus retzte? Noch a mitzvah, noch a mitzvah, noch a mitzvah, noch a mitzvah. You hear what this Rabbi Yochi Tov said? Why are you focusing on the negative? Where else every step that you take is nacha mitzvah? Every step is nacha mitzvah. So this Rebbe from Borough Park, he was like the Meraglim. He focused on the negative. Rabbi Yochi Tov also knew that there's some ladies on the Rehov Yaffa not dressed modestly. Who told you to look? What are you looking for? Look on the positive side. Every step that you take in Israel is nacha mitzvah. Act like Yeshua and Kalev. Don't act like the Meraglim, even though they were not lying. It's pretty amazing. How in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem wants us to focus and reflect the positive and not the negative. This is the main lesson of the Meraglim, because they were not lying.
Amen.
May I just say about Nacha Mitzvah?
Go ahead.
A semi-dressed female was doing a mitzvah because for us to walk, for us to walk in Israel is a way of claiming it, and that's a mitzvah.
What?
Walking in Israel.
That's they're a Tinnik Shanishba. They don't know no better.
Right.
We have to explain gently to them that they're not dressing properly. They don't know. They think this is nice. They don't know. What, Evelyn? You
buying much in the Hamashmir.
Right.
And then giving money to Israel to keep the businesses.
That's right. You had a comment, I think?
Oh, before what I wanted to say.
A welcome.
Thank you. I just got here Thursday. And everybody's invited to come on Sunday to the Torah reading in Kevaracha.
Right.
12 years since we did it. So Israel said it's going to bus 8 in the morning. But anyhow, riding a bus to the north. And people keep on pulling down the window shades. And I had to say, I have to see Eretz Yisrael, you know, I'm here. I want to see, how could you close the windows on all this?
Because you have the excitement of a tourist.
Right?
Right? You are a tourist.
I'm a permanent tourist.
Right?
Even though I haven't been here for a while.
But it's a challenge for us that live here to have that, your enthusiasm and your excitement.
But you know, you
it's
answered
a challenge.
My question.
Go ahead.
You answered it now, because what I was going to ask you is, how do we answer all these people in Chutzal Aretz who say, listen,
Schmutz Laretz.
Okay. How do they say, they'll say, listen, Israel is not Kedusha. It's not the Eretz Yisrael Hashem wanted to be.
That's what the Raglam said.
So that's what I'm trying
to exactly
say. So they're using that excuse. They're saying, when Eretz Yisrael will be filled with Kedusha and following Hashem's mitzvahs, because Hashem says, I'm going to abandon you if you don't. So that's why do we have to
I give you an answer.
So, yeah, that's what I want to ask.
When God told Abraham, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, make Aliyah, things were much worse then. Child sacrifice, bestiality, Canaanites, the most immoral, corrupt nation, and yet God said to him, Lech Lecha.
Yeah, see, they're using like the...
How do they answer that? It was much worse in the days of Abraham. Much more corruption. There's no child sacrifice today. So if Hashem said to Abraham, make Aliyah then, how much more would he say today? Mm-hmm. When there are more Yidden studying Torah today than since the Second Temple, thanks to the government.
But you find people saying that, don't you?
That's an excuse. That's a Meraglim excuse.
It's really tied into the...
Did you ever get that book I told you, Eima Bonim Semecha? You got to get that book. Eima Bonim Semecha, it'll change your life.
No, for me, I'm not.
You have to get that book.
Yeah. And this was a man who was, he should rest in peace, he was a great scholar. He was like a Meraglim, and then he became a...
Exactly, Yoshua. Said Chatossi of Isi. He said, I was a Meragel, and I was like to become Yeshua of a Kalev. It's great. It's called Eima Bonim Semecha. You have the book, Renny? Oh.
I have a pen.
It's in English. It's in translated English. It's called Eima Bonim Semecha by Rabbi Teichtel. Where he says all of these anti-Zionist arguments are all Meraglim. All Meraglim. Cloaked in pious excuses, he said the Meraglim also wore a Shrimal. He said the Meraglim also wore Shrimals and white socks.
I know,
and this was the chief Be'av Bezdin of Satmar. And he said, Chotosi of Ishi Pashati, he says, Fakrumpt, Fakrumpt, Ach bin ben Fakrumpt, my ganzen Leben. And it takes a, Fakrumpt, he said, and it takes a great man to admit that he was wrong. What kind of tzaddik? It's called aim. I write it in English. Aim. Aim ha bonim semecha by Rabbi Teichtel.
Did you say we could get it?
You can get it in the Pomerantz bookstore. You mention my name, it gives a discount. Aim ha bonim semecha. Rabbi Teichtel. It's right near the Mashbir. Pomerantz. What? You pass it, yes? Why? To send it to our friends in Borough Park.
Where's the bookshop?
It's near the Mashbir. It's called the Pomerantz. Any questions, comments? No questions, no comments?
My comment is if we come to Rabbi Sprecher Shear, we will remain inspired. You're very inspiring.
You're very illuminated.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Klausenberger Rebbe also. The Klausenberger Rebbe also.
It's a letter to Ellie. Yeah. You know, like a hi or something.